Hannah Gray has been serving the community as a local government councillor for several years. She was nominated to be the 2020-2021 Mayor of the London Borough of Bromley at the height of the COVID pandemic in March 2020. Hannah has for many years been known as one of South London's most prolific small and medium enterprise networkers. Before becoming mayor, Hannah was Bromley's business champion, promoting and helping entrepreneurs achieve their business ambitions. She's now dedicated to helping promote SMEs, charities, and voluntary organizations to learn from their experiences for the benefit of all.
I am really delighted today to be joined by a good friend of mine, Kathy Byrne, who is a nurse and a CBT therapist, a supervisor of therapists, and you teach CBT skills as well. Kathy, so welcome.
Well, thank you for having me, Hannah. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's great because, you know, Kathy, we've talked about CBT before, and I still don't have a huge clue, but I didn't have a clue about it at all. So can you give us an example of what CBT is? It's cognitive behavioural therapy, I believe. Is that right?
Well done. You already know more than most people. Yes, it is a weird and wonderful talking therapy, and it loves big words, so cognitive and behavioural. So I guess if we started by saying that cognitive is a big posh word that's all to do with thinking and meaning, and if we called it thinking therapy and doing therapy, because it's all about how people think and how that impacts what you do. So, but it has got big letters and big names that possibly could be off-putting.
So it's about how we think and therefore how we behave. So have you got some examples of that where maybe somebody's thoughts are making them behave in a way that maybe they don't want to or isn't really acceptable? Have you got any examples of that?
Well, I'm sure you had some thoughts a couple of minutes ago when the IT wouldn't work for us and maybe that impacted a little bit on one. You know, what you were thinking and feeling and doing at the time. The simplest example, I guess, would be if you were walking down the street now and you saw a neighbour, and rather than look at you and smile, they put their eyes down across the road and walked along the other side, but you knew them quite well. You might have some thoughts about that.
I'd feel snubbed.
Okay. So you'd feel a little bit put out. And what would you think, what would be running through your mind?
Well, I would presume that I had done something to offend them, that it'd been my fault.
Okay. So 10 people would have 10 different thoughts there. I might think, oh my goodness me, my friend needs to get her eyes tested and have a giggle. But actually you'd have a different reaction because you'd feel a bit snubbed. And you'd think, what did I do? What have I done? And then most people, if we play it back, will find something that maybe we might have done. Another group of people would say, gosh, I wonder what's wrong in her world. What's wrong with her?
Yeah.
So all three of us would have different emotions, different responses. You'd pop round to find out if she was okay, or, you know, maybe I'd have a joke with her about her vision. Everyone would go down a different path depending on what we were thinking. So CBT kind of drills down and gets people who have troubles with thoughts, maybe to learn new skills, to learn to look at them differently, but also to really to begin to see that what you think impacts how you feel snubbed and impacts what you do. So if you did feel snubbed by the neighbour, what would you do?
Oh, well, I would definitely go around and see them because I would instantly click into the second thought that you gave me that was, well, I don't think I've done anything wrong, so are they okay? So I would instantly want to re-engage in a friendship. That's what I would do.
And then somebody who was really, truly snubbed, who really thought their neighbour had been rude to them, would probably snub the neighbour.
Yeah.
Probably not pop round and break the friendship. So either way, it's a bit about sort of self-fulfilling prophecies in a way.
Yeah.
Because if you worry, you'll find something that you've done wrong. If you're snubbed, you'll feel something to feel angry about. So we get kind of trapped in repeating patterns of behaviour and patterns of thinking
So would you say that CBT can help people in that sort of get them out of that downward spiral? I've had a chat with a few people during these podcasts with it's all right not to be all right, and, you know, therapy in different ways. So if somebody was suffering from depression and they were losing the belief in themselves, CBT, could that start reversing that? So is this a skill that maybe can be learnt, because I know that you teach it, by teachers and other therapists and nurses, because I know you're a nurse as well. Is this a skill that they can use?
Well, I started my career and worked for 25 years as a nurse, and I was taught CBT by accident, and taught some really basic foundation level skills in CBT, and it transformed my ability to work as a nurse. So in terms of what I could have the skills to work with, in terms of recognising anxiety, recognising panic, recognising that downward spiral of depression, and beginning to intervene at an earlier stage. So absolutely, CBT is proven to help people with issues, people with anxiety, people with depression, people with panic, people with all sorts of worries and issues. But also, my passion is teaching non-mental health professionals how to use these basic skills to transform their practice, having seen it absolutely transform mine. So years ago, gosh, in a previous century, I was randomised to receive 3 days training. And I worked at the local hospice, and I met a woman who just wanted to go outside, and she hadn't been outdoors. She had agoraphobia. She hadn't been outside for about 4 years. And she wanted to go and sit under a tree before she died. And I didn't think I had the skills to help her. She didn't think that she could do it. And then the pair of us were there under this tree. And, you know, I can remember to this day. Absolutely magical. So it transforms health professionals' abilities to work with patients, and it transforms people's abilities to be able to work with their thoughts, work with their behaviours, work with what they're avoiding and not avoiding, and achieve fantastic change.
You see, I was talking to Caroline Rowett, who is a parenting coach, which all sounds very scary and judgmental, but it isn't at all. She's there to empower parents to believe in themselves and for the children to benefit, because they get lots of reward and praise, as opposed to don't do this, don't do that. So it's really interesting. And some of the things, that top tips that she was giving, can be transferred. So she would say to me, I remember she said some time ago to me, respond, don't react. And I thought, you know, with my partner, that's quite useful, to respond and not to react.
As a mother,
what you're talking about,
it's easy to say, sometimes hard to do. Absolutely. So in terms of children, I remember my lovely little girlie, I think it was a 6th or 7th birthday party, and it was at the local swimming pool, and she was worried that nobody would come, so therefore she wasn't going to go to the swimming pool. She was kind of tucked away. And so actually, you can help mums with thoughts. Everybody has a little head that's full of thoughts, and if you can learn to tame and manage your own thoughts, it's so powerful. And then of course with kiddies, you know, I've done some really lovely work in local schools supporting teachers and what's the word for the pastoral carers in the schools, helping them to help kids with anxiety and depression, helping them to use basic foundation level skills to help the kids.
So thinking about the times that we're in right now, and we are beginning to come out of our COVID lockdown, thank goodness, we've got a lot of people, maybe older people, that have been shielding for a very long time and haven't seen anyone properly for 13 months. So you were talking about agoraphobia just then, and people could be thinking, because they're on their own, they could be thinking thoughts that are stopping them from having the courage of coming out. And then, of course, on the other end of the age spectrum, we've got children that have been homeschooled and are worried about going back to school and are worried about exams because they don't think they're going to do well because they haven't been in school. So all of these skills that you're talking about can be used by parents, but professionals as well, in many different forms. So were you... we've talked about this before, so I was going to say were you, but I know you were. Ten years you were part of a team that helped to prove that CBT really does work and that it really does help patients, and it's something real. And people can now take qualifications in passing the basics and more advanced courses. Where would they do that? How would people look at getting some training in CBT?
Okay. So if I go back a little bit and just think about the people who have lost confidence, who haven't been out, who are a bit anxious about re-entering the world, or the little kiddies who have been so good at scootering around me and staying away from me when I'm out and have been so highly trained by their mums and dads to avoid other folk, I would say that, yes, CBT skills are absolutely proven, and many years of research has gone into a huge evidence base. And for anxiety, for depression, for panic, it's in the NICE guidelines as you know, absolutely evidence-based therapy. But I would say start at the very beginning. You know, sit down and just think what you're thinking. Just, you know, write out a couple of sentences about what your fears are. And first things first, just get them out of your head and look at them. You know, I meet anxious people who say, my heart is banging so fast, it's going to just explode out of my chest. And actually, we just kind of say that and we honour that and we write it down. And just to get a foot of distance from your head to the page, patients will often look at it and go, wow, that sounds a bit drastic. I don't suppose that's ever going to happen. And so you can do an awful lot with self-help. There are some brilliant books out there. My favourite book is called Mind Over Mood by Dennis Greenberger and Christine Podesky. And it's available on prescription, I believe, because you can get sort of self-help materials on prescription. And it's really beautifully written about learning to tame your own thoughts. Just recognising that what you think feels really true because it's you that think it. And of course, we're all our own experts. We all know best. But actually, when you're anxious or when you're depressed or when you've lost confidence, your thoughts do become a bit wonky, a bit catastrophic. So you can learn the skills yourself. So if it's a minor issue, absolutely brilliant. You can work on it yourself. If it's a more pressing issue, or if actually you know yourself that you've lost your confidence, the fear of going out is great, or that you are or maybe depressed, then check it out with any other adult, any GP or any friend, and you can refer yourself now for CBT anywhere in the country.
Can you?
So there is, the government put £600 million into training CBT therapists quite a few years ago now. So there is in every, in certainly in England, I know it's a bit more difficult in Wales and Scotland, I believe, but every borough in England will have access to CBT therapists through patients' GPs. And when they started training therapists, the wait was very long. I'd hate to hazard a guess, but certainly in many months, and now it's more in weeks.
That is really good news, because people are going to need it quite urgently, I think, coming out of the lockdown. It has there are a few people I've spoken to that it's really shaken them up a bit. But so if I was coming
I think there's a wave, isn't there? You know, people who've been in intensive care, people who've been on ventilators. There's a wave of trauma really that's coming through to the mental health services right now.
Very much so. And thank goodness we are aware of it, but we do need to make sure that we have enough people
to help. Well, skills to recognise when your own thinking is troubled and to get yourself either some self-help or to get yourself referred for help is really key.
So I was just about to say, so if I was coming to you and you were going to help me with some CBT...
Oh, I couldn't help you, Hannah.
It's a good job we know each other. But what would I expect? Because I was actually talking to Charlie earlier, my eldest, and I was trying to explain a little about what we were going to talk about today on the podcast. And he said, so what would happen then if I went to see Kathy? How would it start?
How would it work?
Yeah.
Well, we've all the therapists at the moment have had to learn new skills of working virtually. So you wouldn't, sadly, at the moment, come to see Kathy. We would meet over Zoom or over some internet platform. Or actually, they're developing walking CBT and walking therapy because then we can be outside. But so we would have a good hour together virtually or in person. And what we would do is we would really focus on how you described your problem and what your goals were. And then we would break it down, because the glue in the middle of the C bit of CBT is thinking, and the B bit is doing. But the glue in the middle is the emotions and what's happening in the body. So we would map out together the problem as you saw it, and we would look at what you wanted to change. And but it's a bit almost like a complicated knitting pattern, that when you can begin to see it and to see its individual parts, you can decide together which area you're going to work on first. So we would talk and do for an hour, and then probably there'd be something that you wanted to do differently in the week ahead towards your goals that would be a little bit different. So this week, for instance, I've got a lovely, lovely lady in Scotland who's been socially anxious for years and has never answered her phone or made phone calls, and incoming mobile calls are just terrifying for her. And actually, we've worked together for 4 weeks, and this week she's got her first day working as a barista in a coffee shop, which is just stunning. I can't wait to see how she gets on, because she's actually she's worked so hard, and we've made some predictions about what will go wrong, and she's been able to test things out and do things slightly differently and grow some levels of confidence to get this far in only 4 weeks. It is really thrilling working with people who want to change and helping them to achieve change.
That's incredible.
It'd be an hour together, and then probably an hour or two, depending. If you wanted to go up the fast lane in the motorway, you'd do a lot between sessions. But there are people who are very, very overwhelmed and find it incredibly difficult, and that's okay too. So we can mosey down the country lanes, but in the direction of travel that matters for you.
That's great. So there would be some sort of task that between you would decide upon, that they a way of thinking or an activity to do or something to take them forward between one session and the next session.
Yeah.
That you would decide between yourselves what that might be.
Yeah, and it's got to be so individual.
Yeah.
It's got to mean something to you, and so it's really impossible for me to sit here and say what it would be. So some I work quite a lot with cancer patients, and I also work at the Institute of Psychiatry, so it's such a variety of people. So you couldn't really ever dream what somebody's goal might be. And if you're young or if you're unwell, and, you know, for somebody after surgery even to stand at the sink and clean their teeth by themselves, that's such a valued goal that would seem effortless right now. But for them is, their equivalent of Mount Everest for that week.
Yeah, we are all so, so different. So there's some fine examples of how you have worked with or could work with other people. But how would you work as a teacher of CBT to other professionals. So how does that work? So you empower them to be able to do the kind of things that you've just talked about. How does that work? How do they come to you?
So, I've recently taken early retirement, which is really exciting. Time to regroup and think again. But for the previous 10 years to that, I worked at St Christopher's Hospice, where we designed City and Guilds Foundation level courses for health professionals. So people would come on a short course to learn foundation level skills, and a longer course to learn the competencies to go away and work in their world. So colleagues of mine have proved that, say, for instance, within breathlessness and in lung conditions, if you meet a healthcare professional with basic CBT skills, people will panic less, feel anxious less, dial 999 less, and it will cost the health service less money. So there's a real appetite out there for teaching basic skills. And a fantastic colleague of mine called Kath Mannix, who is a palliative care consultant and a CBT therapist. She's just finishing her second book, which is coming out in September, and it's called Listen. Because actually, CBT really is real, proper, active listening, which is incredibly hard to do, but easy to say. And if you can listen and work with people, they will learn these skills. So people will contact the CBT therapist teachers around the country and say, how do I get on these short courses? So you're welcome to have my email if you're interested.
But I'll definitely put that on the information on the podcast. Absolutely. I find it absolutely fascinating. If I was come back again as a professional, I would want to understand more and more about how the brain works. And
it's fascinating. It is so intriguing. You could have a free place. You could be my glamorous assistant. And the beauty of the pandemic and the one upside of this awful situation is that now, you know, people in Canada are talking about wanting CBT training, people in Singapore, people in New Zealand. And sadly, I can't travel to New Zealand and Canada and Singapore, but I can sit on Zoom at home. So the courses have become so much more accessible, which is fantastic.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of that, haven't we? And many of the people I've spoken to, we've all had to embrace all of these new skills and actually found that we could have used them before. We just didn't realise we could. Yeah. They might not be quite as intimate as sitting in a room with someone, but they're still extremely useful. Extremely useful.
And accessibility wise, I think it's fantastic.
So important. I really appreciate.
No problem. This. So over the years, I would say the things that I have enjoyed the most. One is just watching people and patients flourish, but also, you know, all the health professionals, be them occupational therapists, physios, teachers, nurses, doctors, just giving them extra skills to help patients is incredibly rewarding. Yeah. Thank you for letting me talk about it.
No, I'm so thrilled because I think it's so important. People, we spout these things and people may hear of CBT and think, well, what on earth is CBT? So I think you've explained it really well and how useful it is in everyday life, everyone's everyday life, how we can help each other more just by listening and understanding maybe those reactions. The example of the neighbour walking down the road and looking away is a very fine example of how we respond in ourselves to other people. And actually, we need to look at some of our behaviours sometimes. So I'm just going to ask you my final two questions, which I've asked most people. One is, who do you most admire or has maybe influenced you the most? It's quite a tricky question. I don't know whether you've already kind of answered that because you've spoken about a couple of people that you have great respect for. And the second one, just to let you think about it as we work towards it, is who would you have at your dinner party? Now, I always invite myself, so...
Oh, well, you won't need to come this time then. Have I only got six places for COVID?
Well, you could have six places, or it could just be one or two.
You could
people.
Be the waitress. So the people that I most admire that have influenced me most in life, well, clearly you have to absolutely start with your parents, because they are just such non-judgmental people that help somebody to grow. So that's the absolute basics for me. And then within CBT, I think Sterling Morey has to be mentioned. He's been my supervisor for 25 years and he's head of psychotherapy, National Division, brilliant man. So both him and Kath's books are absolutely well worth a read. And the dinner party, I would be so excited to see six people in real life that weren't in 2D right now that I think I could trot out into the street and ask the first six people I came across. I'd have to think for ages and ages. I think some real people who've achieved change in the world would have to be on the list. Mm. So you'd be there, Hannah, of course. And just, you know, people like Nelson Mandela, Mother Teresa, they'd be on the list. But then also probably some really everyday unsung heroes.
Yeah.
So I love hearing people's stories. I think some places around that table would be for some of the patients that have taught me so much over the years, really.
Yeah, that's lovely.
I'll keep a few places. We'll, you know, keep it open.
Just in case you find a stranger.
Just in case it's after June the 21st, yeah. Thank you.
Oh, that's lovely, Kathy. So thank you so much for your time. And as I said, we're going to put all your details on the podcast. So if people would like to get hold of you, ask some more about how you can help them or they could learn, you could set them in the right direction. That would be fantastic.
Well, I can talk CBT, as you can gather, for endlessly. So you're very welcome to be in touch if we've whet the appetite.
Thank you ever so much. Take care. Thank you for joining me today. If you know someone or are someone who should join me, please get in touch. Meanwhile, believe in yourself, support others, and please stay safe.